and start recording. I'm going to add an intro to this, and then what I'm going to do also is I'll send you the finished piece just so have it. And, you know, we're going to run it sometime in the next few months to our members.
Okay.
I don't know when that is, but I'll get you the finished piece as well.
So that sounds great.
Okay. So, Tom, tell me about your solo business, your freelance business. What do you do? What service do you offer, and what type of clients do you target?
Sure. I would qualify myself as a commercial photographer, and I do now commercial photography and video. I expanded into video production a couple of years ago. But primarily a commercial photographer, and that includes not only doing kind of photography for business clients, nonprofits, and companies, but also personal photography, whether that be portraits, family portraits, and weddings, and events, things like that.
And how does that break down between personal and commercial?
I would say for me, I'm about two-thirds of the commercial business-type photography, and then another third would be family events, portraits, and weddings.
Okay. Interesting. And as far as your marketing efforts, I mean, are they geared around... roughly in that same proportion, so you're mostly targeting commercial work?
Yeah, it's pretty well, I would say it's pretty defined that way. A lot of my commercial work I gain through word of mouth marketing and belonging to things like the Chamber of Commerce and Business Network International, places where I'm going to be, you know, be face-to-face with other business people talking about what I do, seeing what they do, and then kind of coming up with clients that way. I don't do a whole lot of advertising, but I do a bit. A lot of the wedding business in this area is folks from out of town, and generally the first place people look when they're looking to get married is the web. So I have some Google AdWords ads that are geared toward weddings in the Finger Lakes area. A lot of folks from the colleges come back here and get married, so I want them when they're looking for a wedding photographer for my ad to pop up.
Gotcha, which is smart. I mean, that's going to be, you're right, you're going to where people are going to be looking for. And
exactly.
Then in the commercial arena, sounds like you're doing a lot of networking, B&I.
Lots of networking, yep.
And what else is working for you there to attract clients?
To be honest, networking and word of mouth is probably my primary way of getting business.
That's great.
I have a website, but people don't really stumble on it. Normally that's kind of secondary, where people have heard of me and then they say, oh, I saw your site, it looks really great. It's not often the other way around, where they find my site and then they get in touch with me.
So it's obvious that you've been doing this for a while if you're getting a lot of your commercial business through word of mouth.
It's true. I've been solo almost 10 years, September 2001 I started, and in the photography, I had been doing some before that, more as a, you know, a side moonlighting kind of thing, but really have been full-time for almost 10 years. So I've really, in this area, gotten established as a photographer. I still get out-of-town jobs. I do a lot of looking on Craigslist. It's a you know, caveat, you know, beware, because you don't know who you're dealing with.
Interesting.
But I've found some postings that folks are looking just for a photographer in, they might be from Boston or New York, and they need a photographer in upstate New York. And if they're a reputable company, you can find kind of a freelance gig for someone who would rather not travel, and we're looking for a professional. So I have done a few jobs.
But you qualify pretty hard, I would think, right? You know what to look for if you're going to be looking for somebody there.
Yeah, and most, I mean, you know, any ad that says need photographer cheap.
That's a red flag.
Don't even open it. And yeah. there's, you know, you really can almost tell by the ad that whether they're worth your time. And if they're not paying a decent rate, I don't even contact them. So generally it would be an outfit that's looking for a freelancer in the area rather than some of the other options, that just somebody wants something cheap and they don't want to even, like, look at pros. They're trying to get an amateur to do, you know, a professional job for no money, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's...
But there are a few good ones out there. I don't want to turn people off from it. You just have to kind of really pick and choose which ones you'd even respond to.
Gotcha. So, you know, and I want to talk a little bit about how your business has evolved over the last few years, but... You hit on something that I would like to touch on. BNI, that's Business Network International. That's a strategy that a lot of freelancers don't use or aren't even aware of. So tell us a little bit about that and how you find prospects there.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of BNI, and I think I was was hesitant to really try to recruit people in the past, you know, and say, oh, you should really try this. But over the past few months, I've invited several visitors to our chapter, and several of them have joined, and they can't thank me enough. So I feel like it's not like you're trying to rope someone in. You're really doing them a favor to get them to join BNI.
Tell us a little bit about what it is for those who may not be familiar with it.
Business Network International, it's an international organization, was founded, I think, in the 70s, like in California, where the basic idea is you get together with other professionals, and each chapter has kind of one professional from each business. So there would be one photographer, one car salesman, one construction worker, one real estate agent, so that you don't have competition within your group. And really, you get together every week to tell the other people in the group what kind of referrals you're looking for, mm-hmm. and hear from them what referrals they're looking for. And it's a really, it's not a, oh, it'd be great if you hear of anybody that wants X. It's really a much more targeted and specific referral network, where we carry around a wallet with each other's business cards in them, and when we're out and about networking, we're trying to find referrals and clients for them almost as much as we are for ourselves.
Yeah, so there's a reciprocal arrangement there that's kind
Very much so, yeah. And I have found that the more you try to help someone else, the more it comes back and pays dividends to yourself as well.
Yeah, that's. I tell you what, I went to a meeting a few years ago, and at the time I really wasn't that impressed, at least for what I was doing. I just thought, well, I'm so specialized that I don't know if I can make the weekly commitment. But I think it was last summer I went to another meeting, and I was really, really impressed. And I thought, you know what, especially today, I think it applies more than it did 5 years ago. This is a great way to find good leads.
I think so, too. And I mean, there's a couple of facts. There are definitely, I would say, there are good chapters and not as good chapters, because there's hundreds and hundreds of chapters across the United States. I mean, it's an international organization. I don't know as much about outside the U.S. But in Ithaca alone, there are two chapters and a third one starting. So you're going to have a good chapter and, not as good one. You're going to have a good meeting and not as good a meeting. I've been to some where it's kind of like, blah, that meeting stunk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's hard to judge the whole idea on one meeting. And BNI as an organization encourages visitors. It lets people visit even twice to a meeting before you would even commit to joining. And really, you're right about it. In this economy, one of the things that BNI fosters is a really, I don't want to use the word intimate, but a really kind of deep understanding of who the other people in your group are, so that you know them pretty well. You know not only what they do, you know about their family, you know when they got married, you know when their birthday is. You know what kinds of work they like to do, you know? Mm-hmm. So instead of a handyman, you know what I mean? This is a handyman who loves bathrooms, and he's a great tile layer, and, you know, that's his favorite thing to do. Having those little bits of extra information make giving referrals that much easier.
Yeah.
And they know that much about me, too. You know, a lot of people know a lot about, you know, who I am, what I specialize in, what I really like to do, and that just makes it so much easier to refer people. And in this economy, when people are kind of cautious with where they want to spend their money, if you tell me you have this great friend who loves laying tile and I'm going to be tiling my bathroom, I'm not going to go to the Yellow Pages. I'm going to take your recommendation.
Absolutely. Well, there's something that I noticed last time I went that I hadn't thought about before. This is kind of an unstated rule, but if I go to you, Tom, and I said, listen, I know someone who might be a good prospect for you, I want to make sure I give you a good lead because I don't want to look bad.
Right.
I don't want to look like the guy who gives you all the junk.
Right.
And so it's system kind of just it acts as a good filter.
Yeah, and there's pressure and there's accountability. I mean, if an individual keeps handing out, you know, we call it confetti instead of leads, and there's all these pieces of paper with names and numbers on them that don't go anywhere, that person gets kind of not hauled aside, but, you know, you'd set up a meeting with them and you'd speak to them. There's training where you can really spend a couple hours training on how to get good referrals, what make good referrals. So there's a lot involved with it. And you also learn how to represent your business. Every week you have to do a 60-second kind of infomercial, manager minute, to tell people who you are, what you do, and what you're looking for. And to do that in a room with, 25 people that you know is great, but then if you do it every week, when you bump into that CEO of this company you've been wanting to work for 5 years, at a restaurant, you've got, in 30 or 60 seconds, you've got it already prepared. You're not going to stumble and make a fool of yourself.
That's a good point. So it's a good practice.
It really is. And then, what you learn from the other members of the chapter and from each other and from the trainings is valuable in your own business. But the referrals are great. I figured out, because it's the end of, you know, I'm doing taxes, about 20% of my income has come from BNI referrals.
Wow, that's huge. That's
real
huge.
Money. So, yeah, it really is.
And that's not, you know, something that when we talked earlier, I thought we were going to hit on, but since you mentioned it, I'm glad you brought it up, because...
Yeah, I mean, it's 20% of income that I wouldn't have if I didn't join.
There you go. There you go. Way to quantify it. So let's go back and talk about, okay, the last few years. We mentioned the economy. I know for a fact that there are a lot of photographers out there who are hurting and have been over the last 2-3 years with the changes that are going on.
Absolutely.
So tell me how you've avoided a lot of that, because I know your business has been booming.
Yeah, I've seen it too. A lot of photographers. I've gotten a few calls from people who their photo studio closed and they're looking to pick up some work. It has really kind of shrunk in this area and I think throughout the country. I mean, one of the things that I do all the time, but it has helped in the economy, is I really pride myself on doing a spectacular job and giving great customer service and exceeding expectations. So that I mean, that's not going to put money in every one of my clients' pockets. But when they're looking for ways to cut, I hope not to be at the top of their list, because they do really recognize the value of what I do. And that said, I mean, there's a lot of companies and organizations. I do a lot of work for theater and the arts, and their budgets are shrinking. And they have said to me, we can't do all, you know, we can't do 20 shoots this year to promote our theater. We can only do 10.
Mm-hmm.
That had a real impact. And one of the main things that has really gotten me through this period is been the diversification into the video. I would say if I looked at just still photography between 2006 through now, it has probably steadily decreased, although maybe there was a little uptick last year. but the expansion into video has made it so that when I'm not shooting stills, I'm doing a marketing video or I'm home editing a piece, you know, for a full day. Even though I don't have a shoot on my calendar, I'm earning money by editing a piece for somebody.
Okay, which is obviously heavier editing, I would think.
It is, yeah. For, say, two hours of shooting, 3 hours of shooting is 20, 24 hours of editing. So
wow.
You're out in the field for maybe, if you're out in the field for 4 hours in a week, the rest of your week is editing.
How does that compare to still photography?
Still photography is about maybe 2-to-1.
Okay.
A couple hours in the field is going to be 4, maybe 5 hours. Editing and preparing the images for the client and getting them to the client. Depending on the project, a
sure.
Wedding is going to be, you know, you're shooting a wedding for 8 hours, and that is a good, you know, 10 or 20 hours. 20 hours. Yeah, it's still 2-to-1, I guess. It's just a lot more.
Gotcha.
Where you're really sitting in front of the computer going over images and preparing them for the client. So
now in your video
business, it's 2-to-1. Yeah, so you're spending a lot more time.
A lot more billable time.
At home, but yeah, you incorporate that in. So, you know, a still photography shoot, you know, might be $400, and a video with a final 4-minute piece is going to be, you know, $2,000. So you're really billing for that time.
So tell us, in terms of the video work, how did that evolve?
Well, I really saw, I had done a couple pieces, like I said, and we did a music video that got onto YouTube. And, I was kind of not always, just because of budget consciousness, I wasn't always on the leading edge. So I had dial-up internet for a long time. Took us a while to even get, not the fastest cable modem, but we got some kind of DSL, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, video was kind of like, oh, you had to wait for it to load. And then at one point in like 2007, 2008, I was realizing that, you know, there's so much going on YouTube and websites are putting video on their sites. And pretty much, I mean, I was kind of behind everyone else. Everyone had the capability to be watching video on their computer screens. So my thought was that if everyone's got this capability, that's going to be what they're looking for. That's going to be what they're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
So in about the end of 07, beginning of 08, I got a loan and purchased all the video equipment and the software and a new computer and everything that I needed to start creating these marketing pieces, and just jumped out there and said, this is what I do now.
Uh-huh.
And it took a while for me to convince some people this is really a great way to market what you're doing. And now it's the opposite. I have people like knocking on my door, and the clients that I've done work for, you know, they have another one, and then they have another one in the planning stage. And I have this one client at the local medical center hospital, where I have two that I'm editing now. One that was due yesterday that he sent me some, you know, comments on to redo for tomorrow, and he's got the next one planned already.
Wow,
that's just one client. And then I have like two other clients. One wants one updated that I did last year, and another one is waiting to sit down with me to kind of plot it out. And it's really become where 15 years ago, it was, oh, your company really needs a website. And now every company has a website, but it's getting to the point where, okay, your company really needs a video on the front page of your website.
Yeah. Well,
I'm doing this. And I kind of was out there in front of other folks. There's a couple more companies in town now that provide what I do. But I've been doing it for 3 years now, so I'm kind of the go-to guy, although the other companies get work as well. I'm not the only one doing it.
Well, and what I love about that is that you saw that shifting demand, those shifting budgets, you know?
Yeah.
And what I think a lot of people do in every freelance profession is they say, okay, well, I've been doing these three things for 20 years.
Right.
And they don't look at that shift in demand and say, well, you know, should I be moving into this area or dabbling in it? Now, in your case, it wasn't as easy as it is for, let's say, a writer or an illustrator, let's say, or
right.
a business consultant. You actually had to invest.
You had to make a big investment, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking thousands of dollars.
$25,000.
Yeah, so that's
my loan.
That is, okay. I mean, it's easier said than done. But
I'm able to pay it. Yeah, the first couple, first 6 months of that loan, I was paying it, knowing that it was coming, but there weren't any checks from the video work paying that loan. It was my other income. Now it's paying for itself.
Wow.
But I also, that shift, it also you have to educate your clients, and you're right. I mean, I had the first client, actually the hospital, one of the first pieces I did for them. We were doing still photos for their magazine and their advertisements and things like that, and on the website. He's like, oh, I really want to do a virtual tour of this department of our website, which was kind of the old way of thinking. Before we could do streaming video on the web, the way we did it was you just had a virtual tour, which is a succession of still photos, basically, because computers could handle those.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we don't need to do that anymore. There's no reason to do virtual tours because everyone is streaming video. Let's shoot a video instead of a virtual tour. And he's like, that's perfect. And we did it, and it was, there's never going to be a virtual tour on his website again. And I think that's part of kind of the old way of thinking is, well, I do virtual tour. And there were companies in BNI that were like, yeah, I do virtual web tours when I was launching my video. Mm-hmm. And there's no such thing as a virtual tour anymore where it's just a series of stills. It's kind of old. That's 2000s thinking.
Now, well, and I'm curious, did you, when you launched your video services, did you go only to existing clients? Did you approach only existing clients? And if
actually,
you did you have trouble getting some to see you as a videographer?
Yeah, I didn't actually go that approach. My first thought was, because video is so different than still photography, and what you can do with a video is really tell a story in 3 minutes or 4 minutes that would really convey as much information as your entire website could if someone sat and clicked through your whole website. It's like you choose what your message is, especially if it's a message that's hard to comprehend, hard to understand. Oops. So the first place I went to, we have in Ithaca, it's an arts partnership, but they have what's called the Greater Ithaca Art Trail, which, if you really don't know what that is, you don't know, we know what a wine trail is, and we know what, something else, but they have this art trail, which 2 weekends a year you can drive around the whole county and go into different artist studios and meet the artists and see what they do. But how do you tell someone what that is? The title doesn't tell it. So I said, let's do a video, and this was the first client I did a video for, that really, in 3 minutes, is going to show all your viewers, all your target audience, exactly what this art trail thing is, so that they have a really good understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So they were a client I don't think I did any work for before. I just knew that they had something they really wanted to convey. The other thoughts that I had were like a nursing home where there might be appealing to not quite a nursing home, but like a residential living for older, older folks.
Yeah, assisted
might
living.
Be, yeah, kids might be in California and their parents live out here and they want to see what the place looks like and get a sense of what this really is without having to travel all around, around the country or whatever, even out here to look at several different ones. It's really, my targets were companies or organizations that you can't convey their message in one photo and a caption. You really have to spend a couple minutes talking about it, and that was really successful.
So that's smart. So instead,
yeah,
you looked at your client roster and you probably said, well, that this is not going to be an easy sell for a lot of these because of, they don't have a story necessarily that needs to be told in video. So you approach businesses that fit that mold.
Exactly. That I could convey to them, this is the need. Here's the problem that I'm solving for you. And there were some existing clients, but I had just started working for the hospital doing still photography, and it wasn't until he asked for the virtual tour that I said, wait, let's try this.
Gotcha.
But he was kind of a new client anyway. But I think there are some, yeah, that I've settled in as the still photographer, and you know, a couple of them still aren't doing video. You know, I have to keep pushing because I think that there's some ways that they can expand into doing that.
Now, was it
but also,
difficult
if they have a limited amount of budget dollars, like say the theater, and they're spending their entire budget on me doing still photography, their marketing budget, telling them, yeah, now you should do some video as well, is going to be a challenge, you know.
Now, is it difficult to get these prospects to hire you? Because obviously you had built up that trust with existing clients.
Right.
So that would have been an easier sell there in a way. But
approaching
new businesses.
The first few, because it was kind of new, I mean, people had watched YouTube videos and mostly it was just, you know, people doing silly things with their camera phones and, you know, why is this? How is this going to market our business? And I also didn't have work to show them. I couldn't say, here's one I did for XYZ customer, and here's one I did for this customer. So they were like my first clients. And it took a little while, and I think my package pricing for what I gave them was a bit lower back then, too, you know, as I was trying to learn how long it took to do this work.
Sure.
So it was affordable, and they're like, yeah, let's give it a try. And, you know, this was the art trail I did two or three years ago. And this year, you know, I just have to update it every year for the dates. Basically, because they loved it so much. So it did take a bit, but there were people that I knew. Maybe I wasn't working for them as a photographer, but you know, they knew me in the community. It was an arts organization, so they knew my photography.
So it wasn't completely cold.
So it wasn't like, hi, you don't know me, but here's my idea.
Okay.
And Ithaca's a small enough town that, you know, a lot of people know me through the photography. A lot of my work gets into the paper, or they see it, you know, in local magazines and posters and things like that. So it's not like I'm a no name.
I think that would have been tougher.
Yeah, they mostly did see it as still photography. So really, I've had a few clients where I was doing their stills, you know, but only on a, you know, every few months or when they had to do their annual report. So I wasn't in there all the time.
Well,
and I approached them about doing a video, and they're like, "Oh, I didn't know you did video. We just hired XYZ guy to do a video for it."
Oh,
that was the biggest killer for me.
Yeah,
and that's what really made me get out there and really promote myself to let people know that I did, that I've expanded into this video and got a couple of articles written in the local paper and things like that about the expansion.
Well, I want to wrap it up with a couple of quick questions, and,
sure.
And one of them is. What one piece of advice would you give someone, freelancers who's struggling right now, or maybe they're trying to take their business to the next level and they're in a tight spot, you know, which you were facing a few years ago? What would you advise them?
I think you know, something you mentioned at the beginning that's really important is kind of look beyond how you always do it or what you always do, and think about what else can you do or what can you do differently. There's markets out there that aren't tapped, you know, and you just kind of have to, you know, really sit and think about it and listen to other folks and listen to young folks. Like, get onto Facebook and find out what the trends are among, you know, youth and the 20-somethings, because what they want and what they need they're your next clients, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So really kind of be paying attention to what the emerging trends are. Excuse me. And try to anticipate how your skills, no matter what you do, whether you're a photographer or anything, how you can kind of shape your skills to meet those needs that are emerging. And that's kind of what I did with the video. I'm like, this is going to be something, so I need to kind of get ready and train myself and learn how to do it so that when people are knocking on the door, I can say, yes, I do that. The other thing I think is extremely important is networking. Get yourself out there. Join your chamber of commerce or go to luncheon events or go to fundraising dinners and bring your business cards and kind of don't sell yourself, but let people get to know you and remember you and join a BNI, join the chamber of commerce, and just talk to people. The more people know what you do, what you like to do, the more your phone's going to ring when they need something that you like to do.
Now, that's great advice. That's great advice. And, you know, for listeners who would like to learn more about you or maybe somebody in your area who might want to take a look at your work and potentially hire you, how can they find out more about you and your work?
About me?
Yeah.
Personally?
Well, your website.
I have my website, which is uh, www.vidphoto.com. And that's primarily the still photography, although I'm adding a page, which is video. And then I have a lot of videos posted on YouTube, and I think my, so it's YouTube, and then search under my name, Tom Hebel or Thomas Hebel, and you'll find a channel with 20 or so videos on it.
Great.
And then Facebook, I think Facebook is, excuse me, it's going to be the new Google, and that's where you're going to find what's going on, and I'm on Facebook as Thomas Hebel.
Excellent, Tom. Well, this has been fantastic. Love your story. Love what you had to say. But think some great tips and advice
great.
Here. So I appreciate you spending the time
Thanks.
With us today.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.